disclaimer that we will share throughout our discussions with you. But these are just principles and guidelines. Everyone's individual situations need to be attended to. You know, if you have a spiritual director, avail yourself, of course, of his advice. He knows you and your personal situation the best. Sarah and I, though, just want to bring ideas and thoughts that we have found helpful that in our own family and that we've learned from others. And so towards that end, there are three parts that go towards raising Catholic children. The first part is our own individual sanctity. The next big turn will be towards the marriage, what it is to have a Catholic marriage. And then finally, we can start talking about the raising of children, growing in virtue and holiness in our own lives. That maybe we'd give you a little background on our own path to that. Though I think Sarah is more advanced than myself.
And I think Karen is more advanced.
We do not propose to be canonizable saints at this time. Please God in the future. No. So, you know, we got to be real about things. And I think a lot, we have to approach this topic with some discernment. So we will share our journey of faith and some things we learned along the way. And that doesn't mean, therefore, everybody else needs to follow these exact paths. Now, what we hope is that by sharing our stories, that you can glean some insights and thoughts in your own journey. And we, all of us, create this Catholic culture. So, Sarah, would you like to go first this time?
Yeah, I would love to go first, Karen. You know, it's always an interesting moment of introspection when you have to ask yourself, how did I get here? Why am I at this moment? Why am I at this place right now? And for me, my faith really goes back, and it seems like such a silly little thing, but it really goes back to the year that I was in third grade. And when I was littler, I grew up in a neighborhood that was very Catholic. A number of my friends were going to be going to Catholic schools. But for whatever reasons, financially or whatnot, my parents didn't feel like we had the money to send me to a Catholic school. And so despite the fact that I had grown up with these kids and I was playing with them, when I was in kindergarten and first and second grade, I didn't actually go to school with any of my immediate friends in my neighborhood. But I must have been a very persistent child, you know, constantly knocking on the door of my parents' bedroom, please send me to Catholic school, please send me to Catholic school. That finally, when I was in third grade, my mom and dad found whatever money that they needed to, and they were willing to make that sacrifice so that I could go to school. However, somehow, despite the fact that we always went to Mass and we were a pretty strongly practicing Catholic family, I did not make my first communion when I was in second grade. I was in a public school, and for whatever reason, my mom just did not, and my dad didn't enroll me in religion class. And so when I started my third grade year, I was having to go to the second grade classroom to be instructed in the catechism for the purposes of my first communion, which was a little bit mortifying because here you are a third grader and now you have to go down to the little class and you have to have your religion class with them. So that was a little bit of humility for me. And the second part of that aspect was, because I was in third grade and I would go to Mass, we went to Mass, I was blessed at my Catholic school to be able to go to Mass twice a week, once with my class and maybe another class, I think the fourth graders we would go to Mass with, and then once on Fridays for an all-school Mass. But I was in third grade and I was not able to receive communion. And so that meant that during all of those Masses from the beginning of the year until April 16th, when I made my first Holy Communion, I had to sit in the pew by myself when all of my other classmates were going to communion. And that was another really big moment of humility for me. And I remember that the prayer, you know, now that we've added the words back, you know, under my roof, but Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the words and then my soul shall be healed. That became a really deep prayer for me as a little third grader, because I couldn't receive him. And it was so profoundly obvious to me that I couldn't receive him. And I was so longing to receive him in communion. And so really, I look back at that year as a year of grace, as a year of time where our Lord really gave me a true hunger for the Eucharist. And that really has never left me, even during times where I would wax and wane and in between virtuousness and vice, you know, virtuousness and vice, viciousness, you know, sinfulness and sanctity, when I would be wandering that path, which I think all of us, because we're human, do. My love for the Eucharist and that time of sacrifice has always seen me through any doubts that I may have had.
Thank you. I was sitting there listening, and I thought, you know, just how beautiful. I too went to Catholic school. My mother and father sent myself and my siblings there. My father was not Catholic, and in spite of that, he was very, very supportive of my mother and the sacrifice. You're right, it is the sacrifice to send the children there. And I have my education, I attribute with so much gratitude to my Catholic school. And I wish I could say my Catholic faith came from my Catholic school. I want to say that more than anyone would like to know. Mm-hmm. But I think that would not be altogether true. It's not like it was heretical. It's just not like I can recall that just being a particularly formative part. So I think for me, the formation came when Ted and I got married. We got married young, and we had the great grace of going to the student center at Texas A&M, St. Mary's Student Center, with Father Al Palermo. He's deceased 2007. God rest his very holy soul. This was the dark ages, 81. We married in 81, 80. It's the dark ages. You know, John Paul is 78. The catechism hasn't been promulgated yet. It's a wild, wild. But not with Father Al at St. Mary's. He still taught the fullness of the truth. And Ted going through RCIA, and I sitting with him going through the class under a faithful and clear catechesis, that's when my eyes went, oh. And that's when I became really interested in the faith. And so much so, that's where we started doing our marriage prep ministry, and we would be witnesses with pro-life, and we were directors of a crisis pregnancy center, and all of that sort of thing. NFP, that's when that became apparent. So that was major time one. So I get really solid catechesis at A&M. So I had a good program there. The second time was when we were in grad school in California, and we started to wax and wane. So this isn't a constant linear process. It's not. And so if you're one of those who are in a dip, we can say, come back. You're not attached there. So we moved from Texas to California, and Dallas Cowboys are on Sunday, and that seemed more attractive than Mass. And it's wild and woolly in Southern California. Yeah. And there is no St. Mary's. The Newman Center there was heretical. And so we didn't go, and this, that, and the other thing. And one day, I don't know why I had the time or the inclination, but in this public, secular, contra-faith environment, I stumbled across C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, that can change things.
And I said, oh, and he's over there. And I read almost everything that library had and whatever I could get. And I'm one of those converts through C.S. Lewis. you know, he has brought a number of people to the Catholic Church without himself converting fully. And so that would be the second time. That was more interior. And then the third time of was when the parish we were at there in Southern California brought in liturgical dancing. Yes. And I remember them bringing in this pantsuit wearing nun from the chancery, justifying this folderol during Holy Week. Midriff was shown and leotards. It was something else. And she was using Latin words I didn't know. And the nun bottom. Then our pastor, we asked the pastor about this. And he said, you know, you guys just need to grow up. Y'all need to educate yourself and just grow up and get with the program.
Wow.
And I took him at his word. And I said to myself, I will never be at a loss to be able to understand and defend my faith. I'll know what's in the where to find the code of canon law. I will know what's in the catechism. And when this kind of stuff comes up, it's not so much for me to rail against the diocese. I have no power to do that. I'm just a housewife. It was within my home,
right?
Within myself, with my own sanctity, and within my marriage. And ultimately with the children, I would know where the truth was. And if the parish went off the rails, or the diocese was going off the rails, or the bishops are not being good shepherds, in some sense, it wouldn't matter because I would know where the truth was. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I mean, there are so many, I think that most of the people who listen to this, if they're anywhere remotely close to our age, is going to have somewhat similar situations. Or if they're younger than us, they will have heard their parents tell them similar stories. Because we really did grow up in a very, very tumultuous time. And within the church, really, that immediate post-Vatican II period, which in some instances we are, because we were baptized after the fact, opened itself up to some very, very beautiful things, some really good things and some joyful things, you know, maybe a stronger sense of community, joining one another in a more of a sense of a family. Maybe you could look at it from that standpoint. But it's been very, very hard to marry the Orthodox with the communion. And that is why those things are much easier to marry in your own life, in your interior life, and to bring those together with underneath your own roof, which is what I think both of us kind of did. That we recognized that you had to light a match and not curse the darkness. You had to really recognize that there is something that is out there that is beyond you, but that does not prevent you from living the smallness of the domestic church in holiness.
All right, friends, till the next time. I think, so we're going to try and give a teaser for the next show. And I think what we will stay on for at least a few more, we're letting the Holy Spirit guide this whole thing. And we're going to stay on this topic of developing sanctity. Developing this knowledge base, fides quorum's intellectuum, right? Faith seeking reason, understanding, faith seeking and understanding, kind of the idea. So the next time,
bye.
Peace in Russia.